Will you take your Bibles, please, and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We come to the end of our study in this great book, and I can only pray that you have been affected through the preaching of God's Word in a very significant way, so that when you think of the book of Thessalonians, at least the first book of Thessalonians, you will think of significant transactions that God accomplished in our lives as we studied it. My text this morning is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. 23 and 24 of 1 Thessalonians 5. The word of the Lord. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, or wholly, or completely, whichever your translation uses. All these words are part of the meaning of the word. And may your spirit and soul and body be preserved completely without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I am zeroing in on the second part of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, and may your spirit and soul and body. The next time you hear anyone repeating these words, you will hear them say, we are body, soul, and spirit. And then do what I usually do when I hear people using it that way. I scream, inwardly that is, because it doesn't say we are body, soul, and spirit. It says we are spirit, soul, and body. And there is significance in putting the spirit where it belongs. We live in an age where we emphasize just the body and the soul at the exclusion of the spirit. And because of that, we live in a very confused world. I had the first chapter of Genesis read deliberately. Because when God created us, he created us as whole persons. He created us as St. Paul prayed for us here. But by the time St. Paul prays for us here, we are a fragmented people. We are a disjointed people. We are not only fragmented from the standpoint of our schedules. We're fragmented from the standpoint of our personalities. How many times have you not perhaps heard people or say yourself, I can't understand why I do this or why I behave this way? Don't be dismayed at that thought or that experience, for St. Paul said the same thing about himself. In Romans chapter 7, he said, the things I want to do, I don't do. And the things that I really want to do, I find myself in confusion, fragmented. And I want to zero in on this morning as we think of the beings we really are. Dear friends, you are more than what I am looking at this moment. I am more than you are looking at. The Bible teaches that we are spirit. We are souls. We are bodies. Let's look at it. The essence of our humanity. The essence of our humanity. Paul begins his text by praying to the God of peace. And that word peace is a very interesting word because it goes beyond the absence of war, the absence of strife. The word peace in its complete meaning means to bring together again in unity. And Paul is speaking and praying that God, through his sanctifying work, through the inward work of the Spirit of God, might bring our entire personality together so we act as one and not in conflict with ourselves. Remember, friends, that we were affected in our personalities when Adam and Eve sinned. We are their offsprings and we have been affected as they are. the first thing that Adam did when sin entered the world through his disobedience was to hide from God. Therefore, he was no longer at peace within himself. There was a part of him that said, I need to know God, and a part of him that said, I can't and I don't want to. In chapter 5 of Luke, when Christ told Peter to throw his net on the other side and catch a great deal of fish, and Peter saw this wonderful spectacle of the power of God, he looked into the face of Christ and he said, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. On the one hand, he was amazed at the catch that he made. On the other hand, he didn't want Christ to remain there. There was something fragmenting Peter within. And dear friends, by the Spirit of God, I want to make sure that I say what he wants me to say so that we understand what is meant by the essence of our humanity. First of all, the text teaches that we are spirit. We are spirit. There are two words used in the Greek to emphasize this word. There is the word that is used for God. God is spirit. And man is spirit. But what is used for God is not what is used for man. What is used for man is what is used in our text. And what it means, my friends, that we are spiritual. There is a part of us that is spiritual, albeit the spirit right now is dead. The scripture says that when sin entered the world, God said to Adam and Eve, the moment you eat of the tree of the good and evil, you shall die. And they did die, but they were still alive. Adam and Eve still responded. They had children years after. So they didn't die immediately, physically, but they died immediately, spiritually. God has made us as spiritual beings. You see, my friends, what it is, by our spirits, it is that means by which we can communicate with God. Let's take a trip through the Bible from Job chapter 32. And by the way, your outline is in your bulletin. I want you to see this very carefully. Job chapter 32 and verse 8. And I will read because our time is going. Job 32 and verse 8. But it is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives them understanding. Job is talking, or they're talking to Job concerning what is really man. And he's speaking about that aspect of man that can relate to God. Psalm 18, verse 28. Psalm 18, verse 28. And I want you to keep in mind what is happening here. Psalm 18, 28. For thou dost light my lamp. The Lord, my God, illumines my darkness. Thou dost light my lamp. Now to understand that, turn to Proverbs 27 and verse 20. Proverbs 20, verse 27. Proverbs 20, 27. The spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord. Thou dost light my lamp. The spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord. So there we have, my friends, that the spirit of a man is different than the body of a man. The spirit is that means by which we can communicate, or we come into the encounter with God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says, who understands the things of God except the Spirit of the Lord? Neither can a man understand the things of God except the spirit of a man. So the spiritual part of us, that part which Jesus Christ said, unless you are born by the Spirit in your spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. You can be alive today and you are. You can be educated today and you may be. You can be rich today and perhaps you are. But my friends, if you have not been born again by your spirit, you are dead. You are spiritually alienated from God. And this is why Jesus Christ came into the world, so that he might truly light our spirit, the Spirit of the Lord, in his own miraculous way, theologians call it, regenerates, gives life again. So the part of us that is affected when we ask Christ into our lives is our spirit. We are now open to God. God can communicate with us. We can communicate with him. And Paul says, his spirit bears witness with our spirits that we are the children of God. So we are spiritual beings. This is why people do not always understand when we speak of being born again. Nicodemus did not understand it, and he said to Christ, how can a man be born again when he's old? Jesus said, that which is spiritual will be born by the Spirit. That which is physical has been born already physically. And may I say, jump ahead of myself one moment, friends. This is why, sometimes when you see people who have been born again, they can be born again in the Spirit, but you do not see any evidence of it because there are certain things that have not yet taken place in their lives. Listen to what St. Paul says. Now may the God of peace sanctify you. When we are born again, God acts in our spirit by his Spirit, and he begins to remove all the deadness from our spirits. He begins to remove all the things that have always been there by means of our relationship with Adam and Eve, and then those things which we ourselves have committed. And we are born to understand. This is why in John 3 we are told, except a man be born of the Spirit, he cannot see to understand. And then secondly, except a man be born again, he cannot enter. Before we enter the kingdom of God, we must be born again in our spirits to see it. And this is a work of God's Spirit. And the Word of God, when it is presented in evangelism, that is what causes a man to see his need. Now, let me go quickly. We are spiritual. Secondly, we are psychological beings. Now, don't get offended at that word. That's the word soul. St. Paul says, I pray, God, that your whole spirit and soul. The soul, my friends, is that aspect of our beings that deals with the power of our wills, our emotions, our minds, our intellect. Again, a man can be born of the Spirit, but he has not been sanctified in his soul. This is why we read in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. When we are born again, we bring into our Christian experience so many of the baggage that we had before we were born again. And we try sometimes, as one man said, I became a Christian, and because I couldn't put God in my intellect, I became an un-Christian. That's impossible. What needed to be done, my friends, is that the soul had to be sanctified. Jesus came clarioning for us, you shall love the Lord your God with all your mind. In the Old Testament, it seems to me, my friends, when Moses was speaking, Deuteronomy 6:5, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your spirit, and with all your soul. That is that part of you where decisions are made, where you think, where you feel, where the emotions lie. My friends, if I may for a moment, think of how many Christians are emotionally crippled because God has not sanctified their souls. Not that he doesn't want to, but it has not been surrendered to him. We have not taken that part of us where emotionally we have been affected by negative experiences, where emotionally we have cradled hurts, we have nursed them, where we have experienced perhaps from friends or parents things that have actually dehumanized us. When we come into a relationship with Christ, Paul says, I pray that your whole spirit and your whole soul, Everything that makes you feel and think and everything that makes you act, I pray that God will go through his sanctifying process and remove all the negative things so that you can be whole in your soul. One would be very careful. But my friends, do you notice how many young men have been wounded by ministers, I will put that word generally, who in Christian schools have sexually molested them? Their emotions have been damaged. Their experience negative. But what Paul is saying, I pray God, who is the source of peace, that he will bring peace into your troubled soul, where you have been hiding, where nobody knows the hurts that you feel. Nobody knows what you have been carrying along for these many years. Open it to God so that he can sanctify your soul. Thirdly, we are physical beings. I pray God, your whole spirit, first, open up to God. And your whole soul, open up to yourself. And your whole body, open up to the world. Some of us can face God, but we can't face ourselves. Some of us attempt to face ourselves, but we can't face our world. We're afraid of people knowing who we are. So we hide. We hide in so many ways. Friends, my time is gone, but let me say this about the body. The body, the scripture says, is the temple of God. The Holy Spirit comes in when we are born again, and he comes to take up residence in our bodies. Therefore, the body is not evil. The body, after God created it, we're told in Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, he looked and he said, it is very good. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says, the body is not for sexual immorality. And he names them. You can read it for yourself. The body was made for the Lord. And that is why St. Paul, after telling us of being born again, says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies to the Lord. Because through your bodies, God wants to manifest his glory. He wants to speak to a world how he can take fragmented people and he can make them whole. He can cause them to face him, face themselves, and face their world. May I close with the words of Lloyd Ogilvy? We are spirit, soul, and body. And Paul prays that we will be whole. We tend to live our lives as fragmented people. Modern man tends to emphasize the soul and the body and ignore the spirit. Wholeness then, says Ogilvy, is the maximum development of our lives spiritually, intellectually, emotionally, volitionally, physically, and relationship. It encompasses our relationship with God, ourselves, and with one another. Just in this one verse, St. Paul has declared by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit what the world knows nothing about. The world can emphasize the psychological and the physical. But my friends, God takes note of the spiritual, the psychological, and the physical. And Paul, by inspiration, says God can bring them into unity so that your body does what your mind wills and your mind wills what the Spirit declares. And we can live as one, as a unified person, not as a fragmented person. For God's desire is that we may once again live with that sense of wholeness within ourselves. And the Spirit of God, my friends, might be speaking to someone this morning who is fragmented, who needs to come and say, I am thine, O Lord. I've heard thy voice, and it tells thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me. Me, not them. My friends, as we sing this hymn, it might be that God has spoken to someone this morning who has been hiding from him. Perhaps not willingly, but the Spirit is dead, and you have heard this morning that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, and he wants to save you. You might be a Christian, and you are still held captive by what has happened to you in the past, or what you have done to someone in the past. Either way, God wants to release you so you can face yourself. And you might be a person who is using your body for anything but what God wants it to be. He said, I want your body to be my temple. What are we putting in our bodies? What are we putting in our minds? My friends, God is here this morning to bring you into wholeness so that you do not need to live as a fragmented person. Please take your books and turn to our closing hymn, number 385. And as we sing, I will stand in front. And if there's anyone who senses a spiritual need by the Spirit of God this morning, I'll invite you to come forward so we can pray, so that we can go through the process by God's Word and God's Spirit, and how we can become whole persons.